kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I would like to continue along what I was sharing on Sunday with regard to faith. I believe we're having a season again of teachings on faith, and we have a title today for our teaching, and that is Faith is Building Blocks. Faith is Building Blocks. And I'd like to bring your attention to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. We might consider verse 16 as well, but it's really verse 17 that I want to look at today. And we're calling this teaching, Faith is Building Blocks. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or by his faithfulness. And we're calling it Faith is Building Blocks. As I was praying about this and starting to write a rough sketch, I felt impressed that the Lord gave me a vision with regard to this teaching. And it's quite a simple one, really, but I saw a wall, a brick wall, and I watched someone building this wall and laying brick after brick, placing the cement in between, and also using a leveler to make sure that everything is straight and accurate. And he's slowly building away, adding each line and then on another line and another line, laying these bricks until the wall is created. And I believe that the interpretation to this is that God builds these building blocks within our lives. Or faith could be from plateau to plateau. It's like climbing a ladder. Faith is a very vast subject to teach and talk on. We've had and been blessed over the years with the faith teaching, and we continue to have it. But why is faith so important? Because it's so vast. It's a huge topic which is so underplayed these days, and very few Christians really understand what faith is about. And the reason that we have blockages with regard to faith and little of it sadly is taught today is because the nature of faith has to act. It is not simply in words. It is infinitely more than that. We have to produce the works of faith. Now, we know that works do not justify us, but our faith that produces works do. And there is the difference. And the Apostle Paul, as he is laying out here, he says, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And why is he not ashamed? Because it is the power of God to salvation, he experienced that power on the road to Damascus that converted him, that changed him, that turned him completely around. And he says it's for everyone who believes. Many can hear the word. We can even come into this room today and hear it. But the question is, do I believe it? Because it's, he says, salvation for everyone who believes. And then for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that is how the gospel should be presented. Why the Jews? Because of what they have received. They received the revelation of Yahweh. No other nation had received and saw the miracles that Israel saw. And when their Messiah came, they had him crucified. And so because of that revelation and because of the consequences of this, we pray for them first, and also for Gentiles. And he says, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see that God reveals what? His righteousness from faith to faith. So it is a progression, it is a growth, it is something that we learn. What are we learning? The righteousness of God. That is what he wants us to know with regard to our faith and all the promises that are in God's word. And this is why our faith, our belief in Christ, our walk of faith is attacked and targeted like it is. Did you know that the Christian faith is under the greatest battle that man ever knows? And we've had many wars. We've had two last major wars, World War I, World War II. But that is no comparison to what the church and the Christians go through with regard to battling and battles. And what is the battle? What is the enemy trying to steal? Our faith and belief in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. And that's why man has become so confused. There are so many Christians are confused over the word of God. Many don't really know what it is to be a Christian. They simply know it as a label or a church that you join. But they don't understand that righteousness of God has to be imputed. We will talk about this later on. And this is why, because there is so much confusion in Christendom, it lives like the world, it runs to the arm of the flesh and relies on the arm of the flesh just like the world does. And we wonder why so few converts come into the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that even professing Christians, when they run to the arm of the flesh for help, when that fails, oh, it's then prayer. Oh, let's pray, let's have a prayer meeting, let's fast, and so on. Well, you do that automatically, not until it's the last resort. And we still do it at times. We should be men and women of prayer. This is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer, for this very purpose, because of the trials and the tribulations that we face, that we are in prayer for them, not until it's got out of control or we haven't any more faith, then we start to pray. We get it all round the wrong way. And why is this? Because we are not experiencing that our faith is building blocks if we allow the Holy Spirit to do this in our lives. Well, having said that then, let's look more closely at what is going on here. So I've already indicated in verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And what it's actually meaning here, it's revelation by faith. So we are given faith to believe, and that is a gift. And that gift of faith that comes through the righteousness of Christ imputed to us needs faith to be given to it. And there is the building block. So you've not only been given faith by the mercy and grace of God, but that faith needs faith in which to build upon. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God, and reading also, but hearing primarily. Because our faith is a building block, you have to build on it. And this, of course, is where we get the idea and understanding of growing, maturing into sonship. Many remain babes because they don't want their faith to be built upon. Because it means I have to act my faith. It means that I have to step out of that boat and walk on the water and look to Jesus and trust him. And that always sorts out the men from the boys. Because it's easier to trust in the arm of the flesh. I can always rely on that. And God isn't going to have it now in these last days. Not with the remnant he has. We have got to start to learn to walk totally by faith. Because it's revealed to us. It is a revelation. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. In other words, his Son has been revealed to us. The apostle isn't ashamed of this, of the gospel. That is what he's saying. And all active faith reveals his righteousness. If you do not walk by faith, if you do not embrace the promises of God's word and act upon them, how does the world see the righteousness of Christ imputed to his church and individuals? Because the word of God says, by the fruit they will be known. How will they know? Let's just remind ourselves, just in passing, as we're talking about this, what is imputed to us, let's just go over this again to remind ourselves what has been achieved and done on at Calvary, Christ offering himself up as that sin offering, that sin bearer, standing in our place. Well, we get the word atonement, which really isn't in Scripture. It really means Yom Kippur, Kippur. But it means to cover. And that is where we get the idea to forgive. And it requires blood in order for that to be achieved. Whose blood? Deity's blood. Christ's blood was shed in order for forgiveness. And we also know that there is that word reconciliation. What do we mean by reconciliation? It means it's an exchange. It's like a money exchange. Or it could be an adjustment. And what do we mean by this? It means that the enmity between God and man has been restored. And not only that, but man's attitude, heart, and nature has been changed toward God. Remember that God first loved you. And so God puts those godly affections within our whole being. And if he doesn't do that, none of us will be here today in this room listening to this teaching. But we also have another word to consider, and that is propitiation. And what do we mean by that? Well, it means by appeasing. It means that I've changed towards God. The sinner has now come before God with a different heart, a different attitude. And we see then redemption. And what does redemption mean? Well, we use the word redemption so often. It simply means to liberate from slavery. In other words, the price is paid. The price is not only paid, but the price is paid to restore. To restore us back in relationship to God. And this, of course, in redemption, we use that word also. It includes substitution. And substitution simply means to take the place of another person, of which Christ did. And that is where we get the idea of the scapegoat. Remember that Abraham offered up Isaac and he was ready to slay him. And God withheld him and said, "That is it. I see that your faith believes. You have a faith that justifies you. You have a faith that is obedient, that doesn't question God." And at that point, God had a substitute. And they saw a goat in the thicket. So this is what it means, that Christ has taken our place and he has paid the price, because nobody could pay it. You and I couldn't pay it. No one can. We were hopelessly gone, too far gone. And it is the grace and mercy of God. Why am I stressing this? Because verse 14 is telling us, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." It has to be revealed. And every step of faith that you take, you experience the righteousness of God in that experience. Because that is what it appeals to. And so, as I've said, faith is building blocks. It's the revelation that comes by faith. Faith is given as a gift, and that gift of faith needs faith. You could say to feed it, for it to grow, to blossom, to mature. So righteousness is imparted to us, his Son, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we've already seen that this walk of faith, the apostle is not ashamed of it, but talks of it. He shares it. It's his preaching, his teaching. It is his passion. And he's called to the Gentiles, because God now has turned to the Gentiles and he's put Israel to one side until the appointed time when she will come back and she will see her Messiah. And she will see the one that she rejected and crucified. But sadly, Israel has to go through a deception again before she finally learns. And she will be deceived by the Antichrist. That is why we pray for them. Because sadly, there will be another Holocaust in the last days. And as I've said, when Antichrist comes forth for a season, it will look as though he succeeded in persecuting and the Christians as well. But the blood of his people, the blood of the Jews that's being spilt, will come up before the mercy seat of God, and God will intervene. Enough. And that will be the day of Armageddon, when he comes and he puts down his enemies and the very devil himself. But until then, we walk by faith and not by sight. All active faith reveals his righteousness, not mine, not my works, not me boasting. Look at my faith. Look, God bless me because I had faith or whatever it is. No, 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 no. It is the righteousness of God that is being revealed in my act of faith and the manifestations of faith. They're not mine, and that is why we don't boast in them. And you see, our acts of faith are revealing that we fulfill all that Christ achieved for us at the cross. We fulfill not only the whole law, the demands of the law, but we walk it now by faith, having fulfilled it by faith. It's so sad that you've got Christians, professing believers, who are trying to put themselves back under the law in some way or another because they like to feel they're doing works. And I always say, if you put yourself under any jot and tittle of any of the law, you've got to put yourself back under the whole complete law. And nobody can keep it. Only Christ could keep the whole law. Why do we get this? Because man is fundamentally religious. But that is not what Christ did for us. That's why I say we fulfill the whole law. Sunday is every day. The Sabbath is every day. Whatever is the law, it's every day, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. You know, as I was studying this, I just thought to myself, faith is a very, very big term. And this is why we have so many teachings, so many messages with regard to faith. It's one of the biggest subjects that we cover with the Word of God. We're told, aren't we, in the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11 verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we believe, and as we look and as we read, we take it into our minds, or we pray it into our hearts. But that hasn't stopped there. It doesn't, you see, even reading is not enough. Many people read, many Christians are very devout in reading the Word of God, but the question is, are they persuaded by what they read? I brought this up, I touched on this on Sunday, and that is the question. Do I want to be persuaded, assured, by every time I read God's word, for the very purpose that I live it and act it? That is the question. That is what you should really be considering and praying about. We see glimpses of this in Hebrews 11, where the saints walk by faith. It speaks of Abraham's faith. What does it say in verse 11 of Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured or persuaded of them, embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That should be our approach with the Word of God. Am I persuaded? Am I assured by these promises? And it says they were strangers, pilgrims, no different for us today. We're sojourners simply passing through. These people walked by faith. They saw Christ, Messiah, afar off. That was their hope, their vision. That was the pre-incarnate Christ before he was manifested to the world, because he always has been and always will be. And so these early saints, Abraham, all of them that walked by faith, they were persuaded, influenced. And when you start to understand, you'll understand what Hebrews 11 verse 1 really means. Because then the heart is involved. They embrace, they confess, they act. In other words, it's the mind, the heart, the will. That is what is needed to walk by faith. You see, faith isn't just mere believism. We do a lot of believism. Yes, we believe. It says even the demons believe and tremble. But it's infinitely more than that. Faith is also obedience. Do I obey that which I'm influenced by? Because that is what it does. It works with your mind. It works with your heart. It works with your will. I will to do the will of God. But we find there's another will that fights with us. That old flesh doesn't like to do the will of God. That flesh doesn't like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get into prayer. It'll always tell you you're tired, or you'll have a terrible day, or whatever it will be. There's the battles that go on. You see, many call themselves Christians but are not persuaded. And there is the difference. I am persuaded, I am influenced. I know this to be God's word. And that is when faith will begin to act and move accordingly. There are many out in the world, there are many who go to church and they will tell you that they believe, but they are not persuaded. They're not influenced by God's word. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not faith until it's acted upon. You can talk it until the cows come home. You can quote scripture. You can have a degree in theology, but unless your faith acts, you are not learning what it is to be persuaded. You are not fully understanding the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to you and what is in him, what he achieved at Calvary, what he did for us. Not only meeting the demands of the law, but now making the word of God, the promises of God's word, a gift to us, to experience, to enter into. And I'm going to tell you something. Our faith doesn't always work, because what else needs to be incorporated in this? A heart of love needs to be involved as well. You cannot have love without faith, and you cannot have faith without love. Because God is love. And so when you have all that working in your heart, you will have a faith that works, that is active, because you have been touched by the love of God. and you love the brethren. You'll even be prepared to turn your cheek to your enemy, or feed your enemy, or go that extra mile. This is where faith starts to become active. As I said, anyone can talk it. Anyone can call themselves a Christian. But the point is, do I have revelation? Do I understand the righteousness of Christ imputed to me? For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And there's the building blocks. So, in other words, my faith grows, it matures. It is, if you like, developing, growing. This is why it is such a huge subject in which to address, and it encompasses so much. Or are we ashamed to live the way that we do? Are we ashamed because it means that I'm going to be different, like the world lives and acts? And the apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's, in other words, I'm not ashamed to live the Christian walk. I'm not ashamed if I've been put in prison or rejected or stoned. Many of us would find that very embarrassing, demeaning, an insult. Not at all, not with him. You know why? Because the righteousness of God is imputed, and it's being revealed to him from faith to faith. Faith sometimes looks stupid, ridiculous. Faith does not go the way of the world, doesn't believe the way of the world, doesn't rely on what the world relies upon. You have to settle that one. God shows us what is going to happen to unbelief, to those that don't believe. Here it is in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven again against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. So in other words, they see this gospel. They read it. You've got preachers. You've got those calling themselves Christians and what or whatever. But they deny this righteousness that is imputed. In other words, it is an unrighteousness. And they suppress the truth. In other words, they don't want you to believe it. They don't want you to know that you walk by faith, because that pleases God. Without faith, you cannot please God, Romans 10:11. They suppress that. They withhold that from you. And there are many behind pulpits that are doing that in the most subtle way. And look what's going to happen to them. Suppressing this truth in unrighteousness, so they are not right. That's what it means. They are not right before God. Why? Because they've not experienced, verse 17, the righteousness of God revealed, imputed, given. It's a revelation. It's called the new birth. Verse 18 is a counterfeit. And religion is a counterfeit. Catholicism is a counterfeit. It's the harlot. Babylon, mystery Babylon, is a counterfeit. It's unrighteous. It appears pious, holy, but it doesn't have Christ's righteousness imputed. Why? Because it takes revelation. Flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, saints. It has to be revealed from God, as you cannot walk by faith. You think you are, but you can't. And this is why God is going to get us to have this active faith. not a faith that is believing the world, believing in its technology, all these evil inventions. I passed around last week a most evil invention that we saw, where they're now working to produce children outside the womb, an artificial womb. And that child will be genetically engineered, designer babies and so on. Utter abomination. If that doesn't bring the wrath of God, I do not know what does. And we're now infested with all of these things. This is why you have to be on your guard with medical science. Many things that they are ministering now are utterly unethical. They are an abomination. Using human fetal tissue. They're now starting to use fetal tissue in some foods. You have to be on your guard. The Holy Spirit will reveal this. And we get all, and because we've got hot weather and it's been really hot, oh, this is climate change. Or if it gets really cold, oh, it's climate change. Here we are infested with fears, with lies. This is why you can't believe most of what we hear now. Scientists are utterly confused and don't agree. We're being controlled and taken over more and more. Our freedoms, our movements, as we know, are gradually going and so on, getting all ready for the coming of the Antichrist. And most Christians are asleep to it. Just like the foolish virgins, the five wise and the five foolish. Because they don't want to hear it. They're in denial. But everything is revealing. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. He's shaking everything. Everything is in confusion. But if you have the righteousness of God imputed to you, then it is revealed from faith to faith. And faith is also a knowledge, a learning, an understanding. Faith helps us to embrace what is impossible in the natural. Faith embraces that I can walk this walk by faith that is pleasing to God. Faith says I don't have to trust in the arm of the flesh. God will provide all my needs. He will supply. He will put food on my table. He will give me the money to pay for my bills and so on. We have got to start entering into this. This is part of the promised land that God has given to the church. But all the while, the enemy growls like he does. They will run away in fear. Our faith makes us bold. The apostle has already said it. I'm not ashamed of this. That is the boldness in him, to walk by faith, whatever the enemy is trying to throw at him. And you'll know if you're in faith because you'll hear it. It comes out in your confession. Oh, I hear so many say when they're going through a trial, my cancer or my flu. And I hear Christians say that. Is it? Is that what Christ died at Calvary for? Think about what you say. Our language, our confession should line up with God's word. By his stripes, I was healed at Calvary. I confess that every morning before I get up, and that he renews my youth like the eagles. By his stripes I was healed at Calvary. I confess that because the word of God tells me to confess it. Our faith is about confession. Read Romans 10. And we won't see so much sickness then in the house of God. And the enemy having a field day like he does. I confess I have the mind of Christ. Not a mind that's full of doubt and anxiety and fear and worry. That doesn't belong to me. That is not what Christ died for. He didn't die for you for that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have his mind. You are decreasing that he is increasing. That is what the Christian walk should be about. And yet we confess like the world, we believe like the world, and we rely upon the world. Have we never read the word of God? He's delivered us from the world and trusting in the world and its lies, its deceptions. Why? Because verse 17 says the righteousness of God is revealed. He's revealed it to me. He's imparted his righteousness to me. He's imparted his divine nature to me. I'm part of the Godhead. I'm one with him. So why do we continue to believe these lies? And we do. We listen to it because it sounds logical. It sounds plausible. I rather like the sound of this. Well, what does 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 tell us about the world's wisdom and knowledge? God isn't interested in it. He laughs at it. No wonder we're foolishness to the world. But God calls the foolish of this world in which what? To confound the wise who think they know. Hallelujah. That's why we all have a chance. So our faith is in building, as I'm saying here, faith is building blocks. And we should be seeing that in our life. But you know, we can allow it to be hindered, this building in our life, these building blocks. I'm reminded of Israel captured in Babylon. And under Zerubbabel, when they came out, the first thing they were to do was to build the foundation, rebuild the temple for worship. And they started, and then there was hindrance, and it was left for a long time unfinished. Do you think God was going to allow that to happen? No way. Whenever God starts a work, he will complete and he will finish it. And God has started a work in your life and my life, and he's going to complete and finish it. Now, you have a will. You can decide. Nobody forces you. We can only present it to you. It's whether you have a love in your heart for the Lord. And if you do, then love always wants to obey and do it his way. And that is where then an active faith starts to come in. Because an active faith produces the works of faith. You cannot do it. You're going out and showing kindness to people or get involved in charity or whatever. And I'm not saying that is wrong. But everything has to come by faith, by believing. Why do I stress that? Because that is when the Holy Spirit leads in your life. He is leading you. It's not you doing it. We like to be in control. And the point is, when you walk by faith with God, you're soon going to have to learn that you let go completely and you trust Him. And yes, there are times when it looks as though He's late. There are times when it looks as though it appears He's not answered your prayers. There are times when you can't hear from Him or whatever it is, but that's the experience of walking by faith and not by feelings, by emotions and so on. God is the same yesterday, today and forever, and He changes not. I stressed that on Sunday about He's the priesthood. He's our priest and He doesn't change, unlike priests of the Old Testament that came and went and came and went. This one doesn't. He is faithful for always and always will be and never changes. He's utterly, completely reliable. And He will never let you down, even when you fall flat on your face. And we do in faith. Look at the mercy and grace of God, how He gets us up again. And gets us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And of course, this takes time. And these are part of the building blocks of faith. And you will, brothers and sisters, you will come to a place where you don't have to rely on how you feel. To stand on a promise of God is not a feeling or emotion. It could be. But it's not. It's because God has said it. And that settles it. I believe it. I will stand on it and I will act upon that in the way that faith knows how to act. Now, this acting isn't necessarily, right, I'm going to act my faith. Now, what am I going to do? How am I going to act this step of faith? Forget it. Stop. Because that's where you'll fall on your faith. If it's faith, faith knows how to act. Do you know why? Because the righteousness of God that is imputed to you, faith to faith, faith will know what to do. Because you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And He is the one that comes to lead and guide. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Who will? He will. Not you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have to learn that one. Because some Christians have tried this faith and they've stepped out in faith and fallen flat on their face because they've not waited. They've not waited on God. The timing of God. All of these things to consider. Why am I stressing this? Because these are the building blocks of walking by faith that we need to have in our lives. And when God says, trust me now by faith, you don't need those pills anymore by faith, you will know. It will happen. When you need that money or whatever it is, it will happen. Because you walk by faith. You have an expectant faith. You are there expecting, looking, waiting. The same as we do the same for the coming of Jesus. We're waiting, we're watching, we're assembling together like we're doing tonight. It's an expression of our faith. Faith is active. Faith has been active because you've actively moved to come into this room to listen and to join in this fellowship. That is acting your faith. And so when we act our faith, We produce the works of faith, and the works of faith, as I finish now, I go back to verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. That's what it means. And so as we enter into this, so we experience the righteousness of God. And I already revealed to you atonement, reconciliation, propitiation, redemption, substitution, all these words which really sum up that is all in my life. God has made an exchange for me. He's paid that price that no one could pay. Enmity, God's wrath now has been removed from my life. And I would say the best pill you can take is the Word of God. It works every time. Hallelujah. Well, there we are, building blocks to our faith. The Apostle Paul, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nor should we. We should be excited about this. It's revelation. It's a gift given to us. Don't throw that gift away because you're going through a trial. It's not going to last. Our trials don't last as long as we think they are, and how the devil blows them out of proportion. They don't, because it's God with us. And if God before us, who can be against us? He gives his angels charge over us. And God has started a work in you, and he's going to complete and finish it. He leaves nothing undone. And it doesn't matter how much you kick and shout and scream, or go away sulking or in a mood or whatever it is, God will not give up. When God places himself in a person who is chosen from the foundation of the world, he does not give up. He does not give up on himself, because what he sees in that person is himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, the revelation of your word, that faith comes by hearing this word. Lord, we thank you that your righteousness has been imputed to us, yourself given. You've taken the place. You stand in the place instead of us. Lord, forgive us that we doubt. Forgive us, Father, that we still put our ears at time to man, medical science, technology, the news media, these lies. Forgive us, Father. When we have the word of God and the promises of God's word. Lord, forgive us that we can throw it back at you. Oh, Lord Jesus. But you are merciful, you're gracious, you are long-suffering, and you don't give up on us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that this word that you have graciously given to us may become reality, truth, our experience, that it may glorify your name, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, we're not ashamed to walk by faith, and it doesn't matter what other people think, what family think. All that matters is that we are right before you and we trust and obey you. That's what we live for, Father.
You would have me, or disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.